You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Woo, 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 woo. I feel like somebody needs to do that in Mason's absence.
Well, Mason's probably doing it wherever he is right now.
Do we know where he went?
He says he went to New Mexico, but he claims he is completely disconnected, which we know is a lie.
That's
because he's been claiming this for years. And one day, Ramona's on her way in here, and Ramona said, I go, hey, Mason's disconnected, so I can't get a hold of him. She goes, I made a fantasy baseball trade with him 45 minutes ago. Mason has no self-control.
Al's pretty good at this. When you go away, you go away. You kind of unplug from the whole deal. I'm not super plugged in when I'm out. What are you? When you're gone, guy?
No, I'm always connected.
But you're not connected? Big. You're not big in posting or social. All that.
No.
Like you're not doing that a lot. I think that's to me is the definition of whether you're plugged in or not. Are you checking social all the time? I won't do that when I'm gone.
But you're not even like. I mean, maybe you are. Are you texting friends and stuff? Like keeping up with your group text threads and all that? Because when I'm on vacation, I kind of check out on all that stuff.
Yeah, I definitely separate. I separate from it.
Are you texting your neighbors, John? I know you like to keep in touch with that group, too.
I do like my neighbors very much, but no, when I'm on vacation, I only want to hear from them if someone is taking my TV out of my house.
That'd be a crappy text to get. Hey, last year there were
like torrential rains, and a bunch of my neighbors were out of town. It was during COVID, and like three houses on our street flooded.
Oh, boy.
So all the people that were out of town, we were like breaking into their house and fixing it. But we got it all. Everybody made it out unscathed.
Does everybody know on your street where everybody keeps the hidden key? Because everybody's got the hidden key. It's in the backyard. It's under the palm tree or whatever. Does everybody got one of those?
No, because I live in a guard-gated area, and most of the time you can just walk
in. You just walk
nobody's
in the door.
Locking the door.
Attention, criminals.
If people are home, they'll leave their doors unlocked, but if they're gone, they'll lock them up.
Yeah, I'm going to lock that thing. I'm going to make sure.
You don't trust. Well, you don't even know your neighbors.
Well, no,
I trust everybody.
Trust
that's
neighbors.
My problem.
He doesn't even want to talk to his neighbors.
I don't trust human beings.
Yeah.
Like, it's just one of those things that, that guy didn't look like he locked his door. Let's go see what kind of stuff he's
I'm
got
not great
there.
At that.
What's
I'm
going
not great
on with
that.
John Morant?
Okay, so I heard you guys talking. Momo just walked in. I want her to get in here before I start talking about this because she knows some stuff, too. I think you guys are severely, both of you, severely underestimating how long Ja Morant is going to be out.
You think so?
I do. You like Slee, you said you can't imagine him being out for more than a week.
I said that.
Okay. I'm curious what Ramona thinks, but I think this is being treated with a level of seriousness that could have Ja Morant out for the rest of the year.
Okay. Do you
so
really?
So did you see, you just read my latest story, right?
On we that? Read no. him a couple of minutes
no,
ago.
No, but what do you know?
So here's the wow. couple of, this is where I think
guys, he could be in jail.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, he could have broken gun laws. I mean, if you, I was laughing because I heard you saying, maybe you'll be right and I'll have to eat this.
Yeah.
But you were saying, he won't miss the Dallas games. They have back-to-backs against Dallas.
Guys, I said that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not even here.
Yeah,
he's not even in LA.
Okay, mm-hmm. so let's table set with just the news, okay? So in Colorado, so Liz Merrill and I were just reporting on this. We called the police out in Colorado, which
because Denver is where he flashed the gun, right?
Okay, so this was important, all right? The game was Friday night, and a lot of times teams will fly after a game to LA. So when I first saw the video Saturday morning, I said, oh man, if they're in LA, that's a big problem, right? Because obviously in LA,
We're not an open carry state.
We're not an open carry state.
Yeah.
Now, what we confirmed was that it was in Colorado. They stayed over. They did not fly into LA until Saturday. Mm-hmm. And it's the Glendale Police Department, which is also Glendale, Colorado, not Glendale here, confirmed that they're investigating the incident. Now, this is also very important because it speaks to whether or not it's likely that he would be charged. I think it's going to be difficult to charge him. Because even though Colorado is an open carry state, in other words, open carry means you can have a gun. You don't need all the permits and all that stuff. Because it's an open carry state, however, it is illegal to have a firearm if you are intoxicated.
Right. How do you prove that?
Exactly. Okay. How do you prove that? Now, In the video, you can make your own assumptions. Like, he's not seen drinking, but there are people in the yep. video that are seen drinking.
Okay? 5 a.m.
But,
in the morning.
But there was no field sobriety test. Nobody called the cops from the bar. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be, this is my opinion, okay? I think it's going to be difficult to charge him with anything because there was no field sobriety test done. Because,
sure.
you know, he would have to incriminate himself and say, A, that was a gun. B, was it his gun? Now, where this gets interesting, John, and this is, I think, the real story. Okay, if it's confirmed that was a real gun, which, you know, people have to confirm that's step A in an investigation.
I mean, it as is opposed illegal. To like a toy you're
wouldn't,
talking yeah. about?
But when he came out and apologized, wouldn't he have admitted, wouldn't he have said something if that wasn't a real gun?
Oh, I wouldn't incriminate myself. That statement was very carefully worded.
Right, but mm-hmm. I don't think he wrote it. But the
either way, okay.
But what I think he, what I interpreted that statement was him admitting he was at fault.
Yeah, he's saying, I'm sorry for all of it. Okay, mm-hmm. So it was a very blanket general, I thought,
I'm
fairly
sorry
heartfelt
for creating
apology.
A ruckus, basically.
Yeah, but you know, this is where it gets interesting. NBA rules, and we're going to go back to Gilbert Arenas in 2010.
Yeah, I was trying to remember what happened with him.
Gilbert brought unloaded weapons to the Wizards locker room.
Right.
And in the collective bargaining agreement, it says very plainly, NBA players are prohibited from bringing firearms or any other deadly weapons to an NBA facility, or while traveling on team business.
Business, yep.
Okay. Well, that's why, Slee, I think you're a little bit naive here on, man, maybe I'm the naive one, but I actually think about it. He had a gun.
Yep.
And so was that gun in the hotel?
Was it on the team plane?
Was it on the bus?
Mm-hmm. Was it in the
locker room? If any of that is determined to be true, they just had a shooting incident in Memphis.
Yeah,
that they're still trying to get over. I mean, I thought Taylor Jenkins last night. Did you stay for the second game?
I did it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I thought Taylor Jenkins was talking like a guy that Jaw's not coming back anytime
yeah,
soon.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
I to couch it in the terms you were talking about it. I would be shocked if he played neither one of those Dallas games.
When okay, so and here's the
fact
thing.
That it's. I'm sorry, Ramona. The fact that it seems like maybe the league is operating in the background. Perhaps that's what's going on. But that the team is the one that's administering this, whatever you want to call it, suspension or time away.
No,
they didn't. They're talking to the NBA.
Right.
No, this is an NBA decision now. I'm just telling
NBA
you. I'm reporting
is the
on
one
the story.
That's mm-hmm.
This
on
is
this
with
decision.
Adam Silver, and the big question is. Is Adam Silver going to punish him as severely as, let's say, David Stern?
Probably not, because he's a players commissioner, but I also don't think it's a week.
So this is the one thing I told Trav. I said, I don't know how involved the NBA is going to be in this, and that's kind of the overlying question. Listen, the Memphis Grizzlies can sit here and say, put out that statement, and you know what, John Morant, learn from your mistakes and take some time away from the team, and hopefully you come back and you learn from your mistakes, and let's go make a run in the Western Conference. But it might not have nothing to do with the Memphis Grizzlies. That's
it's
the one
not
thing
up
I
to them
mention.
Anymore.
Yeah,
by the way,
the GM of the Grizzlies is a guy named Zach Kleiman, who used to work for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. He is a great guy. He is also a lawyer. He is also a lawyer who worked in the NBA offices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he knows Adam Silver. He knows everybody that's involved in this. And he is a super level-headed, not going to knee-jerk guy. And he's not putting Ja back out there until this thing is buttoned up.
Is
I guarantee it.
Is it part of the... Because I said this to Slee. The language that was used in describing what was going on, I thought was particularly interesting. And it was, we want to get him the help that he needs. We want to make sure that he's okay. It wasn't he committed a crime that needs to be punished. It wasn't you broke this rule, therefore this is your suspension. Well, it was more like he's going through. I'm trying to find the right words myself.
Well, think about it.
He's going through something. We want to help him get through this and at the same time figure out why he's getting in fights with 17-year-olds, why he's brandishing a gun
so,
in a club, why he's, you know, doing all of these things right as he's about to become arguably the face of the league. He's got the Nike shoe. He's got the Powerade deal. Like, he's right on the edge of becoming one of
superstars.
The guys in the league if he isn't already.
Trav, he's already there.
Okay.
Yeah. He's like literally everyone you talk to, he's their favorite young player.
But this wasn't, we want to discipline him for doing something dumb.
No, they're worried about this guy becoming Allen Iverson.
Right.
Is what they're worried about.
Well, and here's the big question. I don't. I think you're like he's everyone's favorite young player. Like everybody's rooting.
Michael Thompson, who obviously played in the league and has been around forever, says Ja is the most athletic guard in the history of the NBA.
And he's super, like, he's likable.
Super
he's,
popular.
He's got a fun personality as well. It is not in the NBA's interest to discipline him here. I mean, it hurts their brand. Sure. It hurts his brand.
So maybe see, that's a feather in your cap.
That's the best thing he's got going for him.
Maybe they do bring him back in 4 days to sweep this thing under the rug a little bit, but I don't think they're going to. I think it's serious enough where they're going to get lawyers involved.
But what if the Colorado law enforcement, whatever jurisdiction this is under, comes back and says, listen, there's really nothing we can do
here. We can't prove.
We don't have a case to move forward on.
By the way, I think that's almost likely.
I think it's very likely, too. And then the NBA at that point, or the Grizzlies, or if you're telling me it's the NBA, fine, saying, look, he didn't commit a crime. It's a bad look. We've talked to him. We've sat him down for a couple of games. He's going to play. That feels like
they didn't sit him down, by the way.
The Memphis
did. He's the one who stepped away.
Okay.
Like, if you read that statement very carefully, he has decided to step away to seek help, okay?
And
he,
help for what?
He says stress.
Well, Trav, think about it.
Now,
wait, like, help for what?
I'm asking. It's not a judgment.
No, I'm asking. But here's what I'm putting at it. I obviously, for 20 years, have traveled with an NBA team. If I brandished a weapon in any way, shape, or form, not only am I fired, I'm probably in jail. Mm-hmm. Now, Ja, I'm not going to compare myself to Ja because Ja's an elite $200 million player, but the idea of, and this comes from somebody that travels with a team, the idea of one of the players having a gun in his possession, particularly if it's loaded, scares the living hell out of me. And it's not just because I think the guy would be irresponsible. Maybe Ja is a completely responsible gun owner. I don't know. But the gun getting into the hotel, getting into his suitcase, however he transported it, that suitcase... Trust me, I know because I travel with these guys, gets touched by 10, 15 different people on the way to getting under the bus into the luggage truck. It could very easily end up in a locker room. There's a player named Sebastian Telfair. Sure. You guys remember him?
Yeah.
So one
with
time, he was playing for the Blazers. He played for a bunch of teams. He's playing for the Blazers, and he liked to have his pillow that it helped him sleep, so he would bring a pillow with him on the road. And when he was home one day, he stuck a gun in his pillowcase and he gets on the plane and he puts his head on the pillow and he realizes, oh, crap, I have a loaded gun on the plane in my pillowcase. And he called everybody as security officer. He called him over and he said, hey, I don't want to freak you out. This was an absolute oversight by me, but I have a gun and I want to give it to the pilot.
Wow.
I want to do the right thing.
Wow.
And they did, and they disciplined him for it. But that was an accident. If somebody is carrying a weapon, even if he's got a permit, it is so dangerous in the world that we travel in and live in that I think the NBA is going to treat it as such. Now, to Ramona's point, if they don't want to embarrass Ja, the Grizzlies are a great young team, maybe they do suspend him for two more games and bring him back. I don't know, but I can tell you that
the level of seriousness with which this is going to be treated
is going to be high. I think you think he's coming back in a week.
I do.
Yeah,
I
maybe do. You're right.
Because it's in the leagues, they want their best young players playing. They want them in
but
the
But they court. Also they don't want these storylines around.
For all intents and purposes, as far as I know, this is his first offense, right?
No.
What do you
mean?
Did you
read the Washington Post story?
Which, about beating up the kid?
There's three incidents.
Okay. But you highlighted all those.
My point is, this is the first time he's bubbled up as, air quotes, a problem, right? We bring him in. We say, enough of this. He says, it'll never happen again. There's no laws that have been broken. He's not being prosecuted anywhere else. And we want him back on the court so we can start talking about Ja, what you said, best young player, most athletic guard ever. Let's start that because the longer he's gone, the longer we're talking about guns and breaking the law.
Right, but here's what I think you're overlooking. If you read the Washington Post story, among the things, there's supposed allegedly he beat up the 17-year-old. His agent has come out and said none of these things
Pacers
are true.
Thing.
The Pacers thing where they put a laser gun sight. Sight on somebody.
Team bus or something,
Momo, he had one of his friends was banned for a year.
That's in regard to the Pacers thing.
Yeah.
So the Pacers thing was the Pacers team bus is outside after a game.
Mm-hmm.
And The story I heard was that Ja was in the passenger seat of this vehicle where from that vehicle, a red laser was shined into onto the chest of some of the Pacers players and team associates.
I mean,
traveling party.
Come on. You can't be messing around with
like a red laser. Now,
of course not, John.
I have heard it from both sides.
Is anybody sure it's a gun? It wasn't a laser. Like,
well,
think about that, you and I use for a putter.
Think about that association with this one guy over this small period of time.
They never miss on the side of over-disciplining, ever.
How?
Ever. They always miss on the short side.
How many incidents have you been involved in the last year? You, like, how many times have you been involved? Right.
Zero.
Right. How many incidents has Ja Morant been involved in the past year?
Well, at least three and probably four.
I'm okay. Not Ja Morant.
I know. What I'm saying is it speaks to a pattern of behavior
of
on and off the court that, like, is dangerous. But I mean, it's like to John's point, having what appears to be a weapon on you while you're traveling.
I agree with all of what you're saying, and if this were not somebody that was integral to the success and thriving of a business, and if... When I can make something go away and I can at least make a passing attempt that I gave it some thought, that's typically where people land.
The good news is we're going to find out pretty quick. He's not going to play tomorrow, and they'll probably say something on Wednesday.
Fair enough. More of that coming up on Mason and Island. Momo's in for May. Super Crosstalks powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey people, it's Mason in Ireland, and Momo is here, and man, do we have a lot of stuff. We have I sent Greg,
oh my god, I saw that this morning at 6 in the morning
than I think I've ever sent him this morning, and we're gonna play it all for you, and we get tons of stuff to get to. The gang's all here. Jorge's here, Bergman's here, Momo's here, Mason is who knows.
Do you miss him? You miss him just a little bit?
No. I mean, he's never here. He would have to be here to miss him. You know, it's like, but as I've said many times, Mason will not be out off date. You know, if somebody else, like Sedano and I have been traveling for work, and he'll look at that and go, did Ireland Sedano miss two shows this week? Okay, three more for me. You know, he'll double down on it. So it is what it is. But yesterday, the Lakers win. And, well, Momo, I'm glad you're here because you've been reporting, and you and I have been texting and stuff. I think Laker fans might be confused as to what the story with LeBron is. He is not coming back in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He is being evaluated now in 2.5 weeks. He's being evaluated. Momo, you talk to a lot of people.
Yeah.
What's your level of enthusiasm that we'll see LeBron in a regular season game again this year?
A regular season game or several?
No,
because I literally think, okay, if the Lakers are in it, okay, so let's say when we say in it, I mean likely the 7-10.
Like where they, well, here's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
So if the favorites win tonight, the Lakers will be in a 4-way tie for ninth.
Yep.
All right.
They're tied with the Jazz,
with
basically
a record of 31-34. They'll be tied with the Jazz.
Yep.
They'll be tied with the Blazers.
Okay.
They'll be Utah's in there and New Orleans. Those four would all have identical records. If the Lakers were to lose tomorrow night to the Grizzlies, they could, I mean, things would have to move in a certain way. They could drop to 13th. That's how close it is. Right now, they're tied for 10th. If the favorites win tonight, they'll be tied for 9th. if they were to lose tomorrow night, they could drop right back to 13th.
Yeah.
That's how tight it
so
is.
So I think that they are positioned well, in my opinion, to get up to 9 or 10. I don't think they can get to 7 or 8.
You know they're only 3 games out of the 5?
Jesus. And you know what it looks like? They actually could play the Clippers in the play-in tournament right now. Like, if it ended today, I think the Clippers were 8th.
All right, so Laker fans aren't going to like me saying this. That's a terrible matchup.
No, it's a bad matchup. I agree.
The Clippers own the Lakers. They've beat them.
What's it, 10 times in a row or something?
And like 45 out of 50.
Yeah, and it's...
I'm hoping it's someone other than the Clippers.
Yeah, I think the Clips will get it together. They just needed a little adjustment period. But here's what my general read of the LeBron situation, John, is if they're in it, and like let's say they're 9th or 10th and they're in the play-in and there's a reason for him to try to play again, I think he could try to play a game or two at the end.
Right, I do too.
But let's say in 3 weeks, I definitely don't think he's coming back in that 3 week evaluation period.
Right.
Normally, the injury he has is like 6 weeks.
At least. Well, what he needs is 3 months.
Right.
To like just stay off it. But they obviously don't have that luxury.
Right.
He has taped it up and played before and played well, so that might be an up. But you can't do it every night.
No.
And Anthony Davis is playing so good; they've won 5 out of 7 games right now. You don't need to push it.
Yeah.
Now, what's going on with D'Angelo Russell?
I saw him last night. I'll just give you the background.
Okay.
I was initially under the impression they were hopeful he was going to play Friday.
Right.
And I think he was hopeful at that point too. You know, Friday. So that's last Friday against Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
That was a game against the team that just traded him. That if there was a game to come back, it would be that one.
And
right?
They lost. They could have used
him. Yeah. And you know, Dennis Schroeder turned his ankle very badly in Oklahoma City. Played through that injury and then came back 2 nights later and played. And I think you earned a lot of tough guy points for that. D'Angelo, has never really been a fast healer. I've heard his ankle was bad, et cetera.
Yeah.
But he's certainly not rushing back. Let's put it that way. And you get kind of quick answers from Darvin on this when you ask.
I've been told by people that know that they don't want to push it. His lateral movement isn't there yet. Like he can run north and south, but when it comes east to west, he's still got pain in the ankle, and they want him pain-free before they put him back out
there. And you also have to realize, like, you know, it was a bad ankle sprain, and so I think, like, if you're going to put him back out there, you want him to, as you say, you want him to be ready to stay out there.
Right.
And so I think he's closer. He's been scrimmaging on court. He's been playing. I saw him walking. He doesn't have a boot on or anything like that. I saw him walking out of the game last night. It sounds like he's close, but cautious is a better word, maybe.
By the way, I know they lost, but Michael and I are in this huge argument over whether or not the Warriors are a title contender.
I think they are.
I do too.
I'm with
Michael, who wants them to be, obviously, he's rooting for them because of Clay, says, he said, this isn't their year.
Yeah.
The 2 points he goes to is they're undersized and they're terrible on the road. But since their little Warriors dynasty started, Ramona, this is pretty amazing. Even going back to the year Mark Jackson took the his last year took the Clippers to the playoffs. They've won at least one road game in every postseason since 2013.
Yeah.
This team is not afraid to play on the road. And by the way, I don't think people are paying. I went on a San Francisco radio station this morning with my buddy Greg Papa. And I told him, I said, you can't judge the Warriors until you get Wiggins back. You know, Wiggins was instrumental for them last year. And he's not back. And Steph... In the fourth, Bergman, did you watch fourth quarter last night?
It was great.
Oh, he left. Steph is about 5 minutes away from going back to being Steph.
Yeah.
And I don't think, let's put it this way. If I'm one of these teams at the top, Denver, Memphis, Sacramento.
Yep.
I do not want the Warriors in the first round.
So I at post game yesterday, I went over and asked Steph Curry a question, right?
Yeah.
And I said, Steph, does this remind you a little bit of last year when he had that injury right going into the playoffs as well? And does it remind you a little bit of last year where you're coming back just in time for a playoff run and all that? And he goes, yes and no, because we didn't start off 18-2 this year. So they really dug themselves a hole. He goes, but we're in an interesting place because on the one hand, we're competing for a championship and we believe that we can compete for that, but on the other hand we're trying to stay out of the play-in. And he's like, both things can be true.
He's right. And I'll tell you one thing, there were times in that game last night or yesterday, it was a day game, where they were whipping the ball around the perimeter to get open threes, and they looked like the 2017-2018 Warriors when they had Durant and they were just moving the ball like no other. They lead the league in assists. They lead the league in scoring. If they can figure out their defense and they can get healthy, they're a tough out. And by the way, Ramona, I feel the same way about the Lakers if they could get LeBron back. You see what AD's doing now. Nobody can guard him. And so if they're healthy, I think that becomes another team that no one at the top wants to play.
Agree.
But what the Lakers and Warriors would tell you, if Darvin was sitting here, if Steve Kerr was sitting here, they would tell you, we got to get in first.
Yeah.
And they don't want to play in the play-in tournament. I think the Lakers are probably heading there because you have one bad game and you're out. Yeah. And particularly if you're in the 9 or 10, you can't lose. You could lose if you're the 7 or the 8, and then you have another chance. But I think it's going to be fascinating. I will say this. You and I have probably been friends for about 25 years.
Yeah.
I think this is the tightest, craziest Western Conference in my 25 years of covering the NBA.
Wow.
There was one year when the Lakers won the title in 09 where all eight teams, this is before the play-in tournament, where all eight teams had 50 wins or more. Oklahoma City was the eighth seed. They were 50-32.
Wow.
And they took the Lakers to the wire. The Lakers in game six looked like they were going to lose and force a game seven in LA in the first round. And I'll never forget this. Pau Gasol, who we're going to talk about coming up here. We're in Oklahoma City. The Thunder, this is when they had Durant and Westbrook and Harden. And so the Thunder hit a basket to go up by one, but the Lakers have like 10 seconds left. Everybody knows what's going to happen. Kobe brings the ball down, dribbles to the elbow, shoots, and he misses. And everybody thinks, we're going to game seven, and no one is paying attention that Pau Gasol is right under the basket, and he takes the miss, lays it up and in, game over. And there was, I've never seen this happen before or since. There was this silence in the arena for about 10 seconds. Like, what just happened? Our season is over. And then they gave him a standing ovation to the team that just lost.
Wow.
Because Oklahoma doesn't have any pro sports. And this was like one of the first year the Thunder were good. And by the way, 2 years later, they went to the finals.
Yeah.
But I thought that I think that this year could be like that, where every first round playoff series is a coin flip. I don't feel great about anybody. I don't feel great about the Clippers. I don't feel great about Denver. I don't feel great about... Is there a team you feel like...
Well, I would have said Memphis until recently.
Phoenix is the one I'm holding out on the side, because I've seen these guys play three games with Durant, and boy, they look like they're it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the team that you got to watch. But everybody else, if Phoenix comes back to earth and like a team like Dallas almost beat them yesterday, then it's wide open. But other than the Suns, I don't feel great about anybody. Yeah. Do you?
No. I'm trying to think. I'm going through like Denver.
Like, it's not the East. Where,
Denver, I
like,
respect.
Boston, Milwaukee, and Philly are all heavyweights.
That's right.
You know, and maybe the Knicks now.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
But can you imagine? You know, the Knicks are coming here on Sunday. Can you imagine all the New Yorkers that are going to come out of the woodwork?
Oh,
there's going to be so much blue and orange at that game on Sunday.
Well, they're playing Saturday against the... So this is a good matchup for the Lakers. The Knicks play Saturday day against the Clippers. And then Sunday night against the Lakers. So it's a back-to-back for the Knicks in the second game.
Right.
But they've won 9 in a row. They just beat Boston twice in 1 week. Jalen Brunson didn't even play yesterday, and this kid, Emmanuel, quickly had 39 points. Yeah. I mean, they've got everything rolling.
Right. They're playing great.
Tom Thibodeau had one of the best quotes I've seen in quite a while. Did you see this one?
No. But I love Tom Thibodeau because he ignores load management to, like, the nth degree. I think, did you see how many minutes quickly played last night?
And how many?
55.
Amazing.
Bergman, when's the last time somebody played 55 minutes in a game?
It's been a very long time.
Like Wilt, maybe.
Right.
But yeah, the Knicks are a great story. All right. By the way, coming up next, we'll get a little more into this Ja Morant thing, and we'll give you the latest on that. Also, it's okay to make a mistake. Let me just put it that way. We all make mistakes, and I have some examples of it. All right, today it is Momo and Ireland, and the big story is Ja Morant. He's in, or he should be in town. He's not. The Grizzlies played the Clippers last night, and they play the Lakers tomorrow night. He's one of the most exciting young players in the game today. Jumps out of the gym. Really good player, but he flashed a gun at a club on Saturday night, and he has left the Grizzlies. Ramona, you are reporting on this story. It would be premature for anyone to suggest when he's coming back, right?
I think it's very premature. And I think I tend to agree more with you than Sliwa in terms of the timeline. And
Travis, yeah, they think it's going to be quick.
Quick. I don't either. I think, look, there's two things that have to happen. Actually, there's three, okay? One, Ja stepped away to get help, okay? He did not specify what he's getting help for. He mentioned stress. I have some idea of what I think it might be, but I don't think reporting wise it's fair to say at this, you know, let's let him speak and let's let him a little more come out there. And I think you know, he's gotta get some help. Okay. That takes some time.
Right.
For whatever he's doing.
But let's,
okay.
Yeah. Let's unpack this a little bit because I think our average listener, you guys that listen to us every day and are out there driving around and, you know, you would obviously not have a perspective of flashing a gun in a club. Most of us don't do that. But for a basketball player, there is a dance that happens when they make it to the NBA.
Yep.
These guys did not grow up with a lot of money. They have friends, they're boys they grew up with, and this was part of their culture. I thought Jalen Rose did a good job of kind of outlining what Ja Morant faces now. Here's Jalen.
He has way too much to lose. Trust me, I've been that young player carrying a gun. And Will has alluded to this. When you start waving it, that could get you killed. That's an entirely different thing than we're talking about. A superstar athlete should be putting themselves in position. And as Stephen A. mentioned, that's him on the video, on his IG Live. Ain't nobody coaxing him. Ain't nobody got ain't nobody egging him on to do that. That's a personal choice. And a lot of times, guys, as I mentioned, fame can be a drug. And I don't know what type of pain that he deals with and type of anxiety that he has, or what types of substances that he may be using. And I'm glad in this statement that he owned that I need to make changes for me. Because as the leader, as the breadwinner, you control the environment. The people that are around you, you select. And a lot of times, unfortunately, and Wilbon alluded to this also, when we start to get fame, when we start to get money, then we try to feel like we're keeping it real. Like, we trying to be down now. We trying to be tough now. We trying to be hard now. But you made it. And once you make it, your job is to uplift.
Now, I want to be perfectly clear about something. I don't think Jalen was, and I'm not, suggesting in any way that Ja Morant should not be accountable for what he did. He should. But it's not as simple as, oh, he's an idiot with a gun, lock him up. That's not what this is. This is a guy, Ramona, think about this. This is a guy on the brink of a $200 million contract.
Hasn't even kicked in yet.
And the fact that somebody with that in their future would do the things he's been doing, the thing with the 17-year-old, the thing with the laser thing, it's just, it's red flag, red flag, red flag. And I'm glad that the Grizzlies took him off the board because I love watching him play. He seems like a great kid. I don't want to see this guy ended up in a shootout in an alley with him or someone else getting hurt. They got to get in front of this. Like Jalen said, he's made it. He doesn't need to do these things. And until somebody can get him to understand that, I don't think you can put him back out there.
So I have heard that a lot of people have spoken to Ja Morant about his behavior off the court out before this latest incident with the Instagram Live.
Right.
Like this has been building and brewing over the past year or so. You can even go back all the way to last year, John, when he was doing Instagram lives, drinking tequila straight out of the bottle on a plane, like it, on the like a private jet. It was around All-Star break last year. I mean, this is not, this didn't come out of nowhere, and like people have spoken to him, and the sense I get is like it just wasn't getting through.
Right.
Like, clearly,
so maybe now it will, and the fact that nobody got hurt.
Yeah,
is,
and he
is
came
the,
right out and really apologized and deleted all his social media.
Good.
Like, can't follow him on Twitter, can't follow him on Instagram, he doesn't exist anymore. But I'll tell you what my reaction was, and it's a lot like what Jalen was saying. He's not the only one in that video. He's Instagramming himself, okay, live from a club that we just now reported is in Colorado, okay? But there's a bunch of people with him. And, like, I know how I am when I'm out with people. Like, I have a rule, like, when I'm out with friends at a bar or something like that, like, I don't leave my friends alone. Like, I don't leave, like, oh, it's two, I'm going to go home, I'm tired. I always say, like, are you getting home okay? How are you getting home? Text me if you want to come with me. Let's all go together. Like, there's a sort of no man left behind quality, like, especially when women go out. We take care of each other. And I'm looking at all of his, quote-unquote, friends who are with him in this video, and I'm like, who's there stopping him? Like, aren't, if you're,
I'm
his
so
friends.
Glad you, I'm so glad you brought this up, because I don't know why, but where it went, where I went with it was Tiger Woods at Stanford when you were there?
Not really. Okay. Like, he's a little older, and then we kind of didn't, we didn't really overlap.
So when I watched that HBO documentary on Tiger, and I heard that his best friends, the guys that were at his wedding, were setting up hotel rooms for Rachel Yucatel, his mistress. Mm-hmm. I thought to myself, man, am I glad that I have my friends. Because if I called one of my friends, somebody that was in my wedding, and told him, hey, I need you to hook me up with the hotel room so I can go cheat on my wife, they would immediately call me out on it and say, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I stood up with you when you, you know, you need people in your life that are going to tell you when you're effing up.
Yeah.
And hopefully somebody that, if somebody really cares about it, and his dad is kind of a wild card, seems like a fun guy, T. Morant, you know, he was, got into a Shannon Sharpe thing. I kind of like guys that, that personality like that, but maybe he can do it. Maybe T can say, hey, look, we've had a lot of fun with this.
Yeah.
I know you like your persona as being life of the party. We got to check it and prioritize here.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to see him blow up his career.
Yeah, like, to me, it's when Paul Pierce, remember when Paul Pierce got the Instagram Live out and was doing his...
Well, think about it. Paul Pierce almost
died. He was by himself.
Paul Pierce almost died before his career started. He got stabbed in Inglewood in a bar.
You didn't know that? No.
If the knife would have gone in, the doctor said if the knife would have gone in a quarter of an inch more, he would have been dead. Mm. And then he got out of it and had a Hall of Fame career.
Wow.
But I just don't want that to happen to Ja Morant. And so if you care about this guy, and I know the Grizzlies do, I was just there on Wednesday. He is very popular there. I know the front office loves him. His teammates love him. This happening to him, and I know this sounds crazy, Ramona, could be the best thing that ever happens to his career if he takes it seriously.
Yeah, and so far, all indications are that he is. Okay.
Right.
Like, that statement was a pretty strong statement. I just think
I'm disappointed we don't get to see him play tomorrow night. We're all going to see Powell get his number retired and now no Ja.
I know. And I mean, like, I went last night and I was doing all the news stuff. I barely got to watch the game. It was frustrating, you know, as just an NBA person. I love watching him play. I love the Grizzlies. Like, I love how their attitude and their swagger and all that.
Right.
But one of the things I always just realize is that Ja's 23.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I was a complete idiot. Some people say I still am, but when I was 23, I would do dumb stuff all the time.
He grew up in a town of like 2,500 people in South Carolina.
Right.
He
wasn't heavily recruited.
No. Murray State is a town of about 25,000 people in Kentucky.
Yeah.
He goes to Memphis. That's a smaller town as NBA towns go. And fame comes at you fast, right? Like, he went from small town guy in a polo shirt, and all the pictures you see of him in high school is like, you know, a family kid and it was with his mom and dad and his sister in like a polo shirt, and it's like real, you know, like when I met him as a rookie, he was like, yes ma'am, no ma'am.
Yeah.
Like, he was that kind of guy. So it's hard for me to reconcile the guy that I met as a rookie versus what I see on that video. And I just, I like, yes, there is some level of personal accountability, and it's your life and you have to be the leader of it. But I also was like, who are you out with, man? Like, if I'm ever, like, it is never a good idea to go live on social media at 5 a.m. Eastern.
By the way, Paul Pierce, this is a weird tweet, but here's what Pierce tweeted. I don't care what you all say about Ja. I carried a gun after I was stabbed. Y'all don't know what he's going through. Everyone got something to say until you really know what's really going on in someone's life. When you're black and rich, you're a target, period. I don't think any of that's untrue.
Yeah, but, although the way that gun is being presented in the video, it's not like a defense thing.
It's right, but it's there are hundreds, if not thousands, of NBA players who've gone through life with none of these incidents.
Yeah.
Zero.
And also, like, the NBA, you're allowed to be a gun owner in the NBA. You
right.
are. You're allowed to protect yourself. You just can't do it, bring a gun to team premises, and you can't bring a gun on the road, like on a plane or while you're traveling.
Yeah. All right. We'll lighten things up when we come back. We'll spin the wheel of questions, and we'll get back to what I was saying. You know, we all make mistakes. Ja made a mistake. We all make mistakes, but we have some examples that are, you know, why you shouldn't get too down on yourself if you screw up. We'll get into that coming up next. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA. All right, let's see what. Okay, Bergman, you found this question.
I did.
You did. All right. Keanu Reeves said that he's always wanted to play Wolverine in a Marvel movie.
Huh.
If you could play any role in any movie, you get to pick it. What would it be?
Any role in any movie.
I know mine. Bergman, do you know yours?
Yeah, I think so.
What would you go with?
So I was thinking about it after I wrote this question. I think I want to be Indiana Jones.
Oh, that's so good.
That's such a good answer.
That's so good. Can I be Indiana Jones too?
You can be, but I mean, like,
I think mine's better than yours, but
I don't know. That's pretty strong. I could use a whip.
Strong.
I'm not sure.
Like, I'm super cool.
By the way, if you ever need an Indiana Jones Halloween costume, I got all that stuff. I got the hat. I got the jacket. I got the khaki cargo pants. I got the whip.
I can so see that. I need photos, but I can so see you being Indy.
I've got all that stuff. Jorge, what are you going with?
Doc Holliday from Tombstone.
Oh, that's a good one. He dies.
I was going to say, don't you spoiler end up dead?
I love Westerns, man.
Okay.
I love Western movies.
Yeah.
All right. You want to hear mine or you got one?
Yeah, hear yours. Go ahead.
Okay, Bergman.
Yep.
You tell me if I beat you.
Okay.
James Bond.
That is a really good one.
I mean, and for, you know me, I love, you know,
you
like,
get to drive the fast cars.
Yeah, and you know
you get
me,
all the women.
I love dramatic women. Yeah.
And, they are very dramatic.
Yeah, so, and they're all like jewel thieves and blah, blah, blah. Would you rather, now that you know mine, would you rather be Indiana Jones or James Bond?
I think it's like 1A, 1B, you know?
It kind of is.
So I think I'd rather still be Indiana Jones just because you get to go to like the Temple of Doom and you get to have-
Now,
like,
knowing your love-
snakes.
Your love of that world, you would rather be Indiana Jones than Luke Skywalker?
Oh!
Well, yeah, he dude loses his hand.
Yeah, but then he just- magically
he goes in
back and stuff.
Luke Skywalker goes into like seclusion and is all by himself, and that sounds terrible. Do we have that clean? Can we see if we have that?
I'll do it again. I'll do it again if you need it. All right, Mom, I'll cough it up.
You know what? I want to just who's the female in Indiana Jones?
Well, they change it, but Karen Allen was the best.
The blonde?
No, the blonde was the one that just screamed bloody murder anytime
I don't want to be her.
A cockroach ran across
the floor.
So I
think I want to be in the next
level. But Kate Capshaw, Spielberg's wife,
and
the third one is a really good role. She was a nightclub singer.
But I think I want to do, I don't want to go back in a movie. I want to do a new movie. Because, yeah, look, you could say Wonder Woman or any of that. Thelma and Louise would be kind of fun. You know, but they jump off the cliff, you know, drive off, right?
Right.
I think I love Indiana Jones. Like, that is really my jam. Like, when I went to college.
It's a great answer.
I actually started taking archaeology classes and anthropology classes because I wanted to be like that.
Yeah.
But
he made archaeology cool, which is very hard
dun,
to do.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay. I think, though, I'm going to pivot, though. I'm going to give a different answer.
Okay.
I always wanted to be CJ Craig from The West Wing.
So did I.
That was like...
Okay, can I tell you a weird story?
So if there's like a movie,
I don't
like
know
a
if
West
I've,
Wing
I don't
movie,
know if
that's
I've ever,
my answer.
If I've ever told you this story.
Okay.
So if you want to be the press secretary, okay, if you want any job in the government, you can apply for it online. So after... Because I've always...
Yeah.
At that time... I had always voted Republican, so I knew they would go back and look at how I voted. I waited until George W. Bush got into office, and as a bit on the air, I applied to be the press secretary.
Oh, wow.
Never heard back.
Never heard back.
I don't think they seriously took it.
I think you'd be good,
though. I would have been the one with that Ari Fleischer.
Right.
Eventually got the job.
Right.
I'd love to do it.
Yeah.
That was always great.
Like my goal. I think if we were just like magically transporting into somebody else's body and role,
yeah.
I would probably go with Kim Cattrall's character on Sex and the City in the movie because you just get to make out with a bunch of hot guys.
Well, and girls. I mean, she had no rules.
Yeah.
Samantha.
Yeah.
She had no rules, which was great. By the way, in that show,
yeah.
My wife, totally Charlotte. She thinks everything is rainbows and roses and that no one ever cheats on anyone and everyone is going to find true love.
Which one is Charlotte?
Charlotte is Kristen Davis.
Yeah, okay, she's the dark-haired one.
Okay.
By the way, Bergman,
Not the redhead.
Marries and converts to Judaism at the end of that show for a guy.
Hey, good for her.
There you
Miranda
go.
Is the one you're thinking of. Miranda is the redhead.
Miranda. Oh,
and then Sarah Jessica Parker, that's Carrie, and Kim Cattrall is the older blonde who she's kind of like the promiscuous one.
Right. Okay. So, you know, I mentioned that everybody makes mistakes, right?
Yeah.
And it becomes, you know, you think that if you get an easy question that everything is going to all work out. Wheel of Fortune is basically a game of hangman with a wheel.
Yeah.
It is super easy, but we have another unbelievable screw up. All right, so if this is your friend that goes on Wheel of Fortune, here's what the puzzle said. Warm bagels with L-O blank and cream cheese. So the only thing that was missing was the X.
And so they've been going around spinning the wheel, guessing the letters.
And you can guess what happens next.
B, please.
Yes, there's a B.
I'm going to try to solve.
Okay.
Warm toasted bagels with low and cream cheese.
No, not right. Nina, it's your turn.
Low?
Low.
700.
X?
Yeah, there is indeed an X.
Now everybody.
I'd like to solve the puzzle.
Sure.
Warm toasted bagels with lox and cream cheese.
Yeah, that's a much better recipe.
Can you believe Bergman?
Low and cream cheese.
Obviously, she's not in the tribe.
Absolutely not.
And now I'm thinking she's never been in a deli.
Like, what is low?
Yeah, what like is sweet low?
Sweet and low?
No.
You know, she wants a little sugar on the top.
Well, Jorge, what was the one we had last week that was almost as bad? There was another way of fortune. Sajak tells a story all the time that this one woman had Abraham Incan.
Oh,
she,
my
who
God.
She just needed the L. And she goes, I'd like to solve. And she says, Abraham Binken. And Sajak was so taken aback by it that he went, okay. And he says it's the only time he's ever done this. He goes, I'm going to give you another chance. I want you to enunciate very clearly.
Oh, my gosh.
And she goes, Abraham Binken.
Oh.
And he just like did time, he goes, no.
Jesus.
Not it.
Yeah. Oh, that's so embarrassing.
What?
Fresh tropical fruits was.
Oh, do we still have it? Okay, here was the fresh tropical fruit one. Here's
but
this
do
one.
Something quickly.
You want to I'll spin that. It.
Okay.
The puzzle is fresh tropical fruit.
I'll go with a G.
Juliana, it's your turn.
I'd like to solve the puzzle.
Yeah.
Fresh tropical fruit.
Yeah.
The only thing that was missing was like the F. She,
you know, happened,
she wanted
so
to,
she wanted to go Groot?
Groot. And I'm like, what are you like?
How does Pat, like Pat always is like, no.
Yeah.
He's so dry now. Like, do you think Pat's actually enjoying himself
anymore?
I mean,
anymore? Come on. How many shows has he done?
So many. Okay, so many hear, a day.
Thousands and thousands.
You guys want to hear the greatest thing about Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy? If you ever get a chance to host that show, do not turn it down. Here's the schedule. All right? They come in on Saturday. And they do 5 shows in the morning, 5 shows in the afternoon. Then 2 weeks later, they come in on a Saturday and do 5 shows in the morning and 5 in the afternoon. You work 2 days a month.
Wow.
How great is that?
Oh.
Even Mason could do that schedule. He could work 2 days a month.
Now we know how Vanna has preserved herself so long.
Yeah, that's a good gig.
Yeah, 2 days a month.
Yeah, that is a very good gig. All right, so if you're having a bad day, at least you didn't say low and cream cheese.
Oh, my
which is brutal. All right, the Lakers did something really cool last week. We'll share it with you next. Mason in Ireland, Momo in for Mace, ESPN LA.